Coming up, I'm going to share 9 signs that someone, maybe you, is about to quit. And then I'll reveal the best job in the world, and an expert will stop by to tell us why it's the best job in the world. And then, you know it, you expect it, we're going to coach you up. Let's go. Helping you get the competitive edge to win at work and in life, make it more money, make it more impact. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken, your coach. 9 signs someone's about to quit. I saw this article recently from Forbes, and I want to unpack it. I think it's pretty relatively accurate, and I want to help you see why this is important, because let me give you a little hint of where we're going here. This could be you. There could be some signs here that you've yet to kind of embrace that you're ready to walk. But more importantly, we're going to take the focus off of ourselves today. Why does it matter that we would see these signs, and then what would we do with these signs if it's related to a coworker, not me? I'll tell you why in just a minute. So here are the signs. We'll run through these really quickly. Number one, work productivity has decreased more than usual. They've checked out. Number two, the person is performing less like a team player than they normally do. Again, they've checked out. Number three, they've been doing the bare minimum amount of work more frequently than in the past. The staff member has been less interested in pleasing their manager and is unwilling to commit to long-term timelines. Uh-oh. Five, the person exhibits negative change in attitude, puts in less effort, and demonstrably lacks motivation. Six, they have exhibited less focus on job-related matters than usual and express greater dissatisfaction with their job. Number seven, they leave work earlier than usual. Number eight, there's been a lot less enthusiasm for the mission of the organization. And number nine, interactions with coworkers and customers have significantly declined. So you look at all of those signs, and it points to they've already decided that they're gone. Or they're at a point where they can embrace the fact that they go, I don't know when I'm leaving, but I'm leaving. And so when this happens, you go, okay, Ken, this happens all the time. What's the big deal? I get the signs. I see them. Well, you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared. I get calls on this show almost on a daily basis of people that are fried because they've had coworkers quit or multiple people quit. Or in many cases, people have been laid off and they had to pick up all their workload. So in other words, plates are falling off the cupboard and they're trying to catch them all. They're freaking out. So now all of a sudden, you start to look at this information a little bit differently. Can we be selfish for a moment? Selfish not as in a all-consuming, narcissistic way, but to say, hey, if I can see through these 9 signs or other ways, I can see some evidence that I think my coworker is about to quit and that could directly negatively impact me. Well, boy, I sure do want to help them. I want to help them not just jump off the boat into the middle of the shark infested waters, drown or get eaten by the sharks, right? What do I want? Well, if I care about them, if I'm a decent human being, I want them to be able to step onto the dock, right? Instead of jumping off, I want them to step off onto the dock. And so if I could say, hey, what's going on? Why are you, what's going on? Are you about to leave or have you already decided to leave? Well, this is okay. Hey, would you leave if these circumstances were different? Well, probably not. Okay. Is there something that you can do as it relates to talking them off the bridge, right? Can you help them not do something that's going to be bad for them and bad for you? I think it's a worthwhile conversation. I really do. To be able to go, okay, I get it. Let's see if we can bring this up together as a group. Because if they were to say to that all-important question, and I hope you got this, if these circumstances, the things that are causing you to want to leave, or you've already decided you're pretty much leaving, if those circumstances were different, would you leave? And they go, well, I mean, you know, I probably not. So now that's when we step in and go, okay. So first and foremost, let's try that. Is there power in the group going, hey, there's some systemic problems here and people are wanting to leave because of it? Well, you have, listen to me, folks, you have leverage in today's economy. No leader in their right mind wants to lose anybody, and that includes the Hardee's manager. They don't want to even lose the minimum wage worker right now. You talk about job security. We are living in the most job secure time in American history because of the big gap between how many jobs are available and how many people are unemployed. And that you see people like we showed a Taco Bell sign a month ago on this show, right? Where they're offering cell phone breaks to kids. I mean, we've heard of the smoke break, but now fast food places are going, hey, if you come slap burritos around for us, we'll let you have a cell phone break so you can check out the talk a couple times a day. This is the world we live in. If you need any more evidence that employers are desperate to keep people. So, your teammate might be jumping ship soon as opposed to smoothly getting off the dock. Maybe they could prepare the transition a little bit better. So I thought I could tell you this, or I could use the magic of the movies and one of the great franchises of all time, Pirates of the Caribbean, Captain Jack Sparrow, the Sultan of Smooth, as he disembarks from one of his ships that were sinking. Let's play this. This is fantastic. Watch this. There he is. He's making an entrance into the dock. You'll remember this. Look, they're all paying attention. Hey, what's going on? What's going on? There he is. Watch as the camera pans out. He's regal, he's relaxed, chest high, confident. As the ship sinks, the dramatic step onto the dock. That's what we're looking for. And so I show you that clip to now pivot to you. What if all nine of those signs you're exhibiting? It's time to get out of Dodge. But I would prefer that you leave like Captain Jack Sparrow left. Hey, everybody knows your time is done. You know, but instead of going down with the ship or jumping off the ship into the shark-infested waters of the unknown, let's find a better job so that we walk effortlessly off of one ship onto the dock or onto the next boat. This is doable, folks. This is possible. And so whether it's helping out a teammate make the transition the right way or it's making the transition for yourself, we have so many emotions, rightfully so. We have so many emotions. It's such a powerful cocktail of emotions when we have felt like my time is done here. And sometimes it's pretty rough. I get calls from you folks. I know. Sometimes it's pretty toxic, the horrible bossery that's going on out there. And you're just like, I'm done. I'm walking in today and I'm going to blow the bridge up. And I just tell you, I'm going to tell you that never serves you well. Even if you think you're never going to see those people the rest of your life, leave classy, leave strategically. No matter how bad it is, it's not worth missing a paycheck or going to work at another crappy place just because you didn't have anywhere else to land. This is the moral of the teaching. So there you go. Coming up next, what is the best job in the world? Why is it the best job in the world? We'll break it down, get an expert's opinion as well. Don't move. It's coming up next. Helping you beat the competition. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Some of you go, whoa. What are you talking about? I'll remind you that you are in the hottest competition of your life. If you're trying to grow and move up, get promoted in this world, you're competing against somebody in your office. Trust me, you're competing against somebody outside your office, and you need to be competing against the you of yesterday. I've had the privilege of interviewing great athletes and great coaches. They're always competing against last season. They're competing against their personal records. So I'm here to help you compete and win big time. More money, more impact. As a part of my efforts to do that, to give you the edge, I keep you informed. We call it In the News. In the News. Okay, so U.S. News and World Report's done this article for a long time. I don't know how long. They call it the 100 best jobs. And just a qualifier here, I'm not endorsing what they're saying. They do a lot of research on it. They have several different factors about how they come up with it. Obviously, pay, challenges, stress levels, advancement opportunities, work-life balance, yada, 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 okay? So they came out with their 100 best jobs, and we're going to go through the top seven. How about that? All right. So the first one is financial manager, right? So this is somebody who's managing people's retirement and investment incomes, financial managers. I'm guessing that's what that is. Or also could be somebody who is not in a true CPA role. I'm not sure if it's one or the other, but this is finances. And with financial jobs, the reason those are always going to rank high is because they're very versatile. You have a lot of opportunity for growth. You manage people's money well. You manage a company's money well. Hey, 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 big opportunities. Next, data scientist. Next, software developer. Again, with the onslaught of technology and how it's now in every part of our lives, every industry from a ministry to a nonprofit to a Fortune 100 company to sports teams. I mean, my goodness, if you look at the data that NFL and Major League Baseball and NBA teams are crunching now, they have full analytical departments. Okay, so software developers are engaged in all of that stuff. Just think about the web and apps. It's unbelievable. Medical and health services manager, exploded. Any of these type of positions where it's an administrative leadership type role in healthcare, this blew up mid-pandemic, post-pandemic. Physician assistant, a physician assistant, a PA. You know, it's like I meet more and more people going after these PA roles because it's almost like a doctor, but it's not quite a doctor. Nurse practitioner, same deal. Great opportunities financially. And professionally as well. And then, drum roll here, the best job of 2022, according to U.S. News and World Report, is information security analyst. So what is an information security analyst? So these women and men are responsible for protecting information in a organization's computer systems. And they're protecting them from data breaches, right? Cyber attacks. You hear more and more about this stuff. Information security analysts may install and maintain firewalls or data encryption software. They develop security standards and best practices to protect sensitive information. They identify risk and vulnerabilities in an organization's systems, and they investigate if a data breach occurs. All right. So you can understand now, when you start talking about protecting very sensitive and valuable data, you start going, all right. Like, these are the Secret Service men and women in the technology industry, right? You think of Secret Service protects the president and heads of state, like all heads of state have this Secret Service. I mean, it's big stuff. I mean, super important. And you talk about high end. You think about a company, there's really no amount that they aren't willing to invest in all of this stuff. So we get calls from time to time, Ken, should I go into cybersecurity? And of course, I'm always going to do the test. Do you have the talent that you can then acquire the skills with? Do you love that kind of work? And do you care deeply about serving through protection? That's really how you would boil that down. And if the answer is yes, yes, and yes, cybersecurity is a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. For now, over a year, I've endorsed Bethel Tech. They are, in my mind, the best boot camp out there as relates to real results. A 9-month online program, less than $15,000 for Ken Coleman Show listeners. And we got a bunch of you that are in their school. We're getting updates. We're going to be sharing some really fun updates soon on people that came out of the program, got placed, because Bethel Tech doesn't just train you, they place you. And they work very closely with Silicon Valley. They know what they're doing. It's really a lot of fun. So I wanted our friend, the CEO, Ryan Collins, to join me to talk about this. And so we're going to bring him in here. He joins us remote. Ryan, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so you're not surprised by this report that information security analyst is the best job of 2022. That does not shock you.
No, it's hot and it's not going away. I think all of the focus, especially, you know, last summer, we saw the hack of the Colonial Pipeline on the East Coast and how that shut down the entire East Coast being able to get gasoline. And so just more and more, there are companies that have a high focus on making sure that they protect their data and that things don't get out.
So why is it such an attractive job? You know what U.S. News and World Report's looking at because you train these folks, you hire these folks. What are they looking at as you look at that as a career path that they say, this is the best job? What's your version of why it's so great?
Yeah, well, I mean, so yeah, the numbers bear out. I think it's about a 33% job growth within the next 10 years. Average starting pay just to start is around 70 to 75,000. And again, you know, the most valuable asset in the world is not gold, it's not coal, it's data. And unlike coal and gold, it's infinite. And so companies want to hold on to their data. They want to hold on and protect your data. Everything, our entire lives are basically in the cloud. And so they have a high focus on making sure that they don't get hacked. And as we're building out new technologies that have a strong focus on cybersecurity, things like blockchain and even quantum technologies, we're going to see more and more advancements to create opportunities for people to protect the data through cybersecurity. So it's just, I mean, all companies, this is at the top of their mind, and they're getting, in some ways they're reactionary, but in other ways, I would say they're getting ahead of the game because, you know, we even have, you played the clip of Jack Sparrow, the pirate. We have gangs of pirates now.
Yeah.
Redefining our idea of what a gang is that are focused solely on breaching and hacking into company systems and then selling that data on the dark web. So it's really, really significant for companies.
All right. So we know that you're talking about long-term job security. That's it, right? And so I want to get your thoughts on, you're starting talking about 75,000. What does a general path look like over a 3 to 5 year period or 7 year period as you could move up the ladder, not just financially, but also professionally in leadership in this track? What's that look like for folks?
Yeah, easily in 3 to 5 years, six figures, mid-level information security analysts are making 150 plus. And, you know, there's continued promotion within this. This will be something, again, companies are needing entire teams to protect themselves on the cybersecurity front. And then even as we're going into this idea of a decentralized web with Web3. I know that's a buzzword right now. But if we go down that path with blockchain and quantum, the whole idea is that we need a more robust way of protecting our data through cybersecurity. So, I don't even think we fully know what the market looks like 10
that's
years,
right.
But the future is very bright. And that's the beauty of technology is that if you get on the ground floor, you can continue to grow, be promoted, and actually build even entire departments based on the knowledge that you have.
I love it. All right. Tell folks how they can get to Bethel Tech in 5 seconds. Give it to us.
Yeah, go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. We have incredible testimonies from Ken Coleman graduates that are getting jobs, doubling their pay. We'd love for you to be the next
Thanks,
one.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate you being with us. Don't move. Coaching coming up next. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Hey, listen, those of you that are thinking about the job search, thinking about jumping out, cashing in, hot, hot, hot job market, be aware that the job search can sometimes be filled with long, lonely hours, getting ghosted, no response at all. And that's why ZipRecruiter does what they do. They understand what you're going through. Their artificial intelligence does a lot of the work for you. After you fill out a profile, which takes just minutes, they are automatically pitching you on a regular basis. You're doing your life over here. They're pitching you towards companies that have positions, and it makes you stand out because ZipRecruiter is representing you as your ZipRecruiter. And they save you time by sending you jobs that you can apply to with one click. Not all this filling out a new resume every time. So it's going to help you. It's going to return the love to the growth proposition, to the game of competing and growing. So check it out at ZipRecruiter.com. It's free to you. Companies pay Zip. You don't. ZipRecruiter.com. It's free. Go. ZipRecruiter.com. Jason now joins us in Johnson City, New York. Jason, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hello, Ken. I'm calling in because I've spent a lot of time thinking about, like, I've thought about doing a dozen different careers, and I've tried a dozen different careers, and I've just never been able to arrive at, like, a set of something that I've been able to stay consistent at. Plus, also, I feel that I'm a, like, job hop because I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah, well, let me just challenge you. You're not a perfectionist because you're not perfect.
Okay.
Have you ever thought about that?
I'm not sure if I have.
I think I just blew your mind. It's like saying I am a Baptist, but I don't go to a Baptist church. So you aren't perfect. Therefore, you can't be a perfectionist. So why don't you just go ahead and just be okay being like the rest of us? Flawed.
Okay.
And okay. Right?
Right.
I'm as serious as I can be. You've got to get to the point where you stop using that as an excuse, because I've got friends who call themselves. I'm not. So let me also just say that I come at this a whole lot freer than most people, Jason. I've never uttered that sentence. In fact, anybody who's ever worked with me or known me would laugh out loud if I said that. Hey, Joe, you've known me a long time. If I said, Joe, I'm a perfectionist, he'd laugh out loud.
I just did.
I know. I'm not. I'm not a perfectionist. Not even close. Like, I'm not even trying to be perfect. I'm an absolute tornado. All right? But we harness it in things like this kind of work. Okay, so I wanted you to get this because you need to stop saying it, because for my perfectionist friends, and I say this with love, Jason, you saying I'm a perfectionist is actually a crutch. Because the way you set it up in your thing, like, well, I've job hopped and I've been because I'm a perfectionist. Like, it's an excuse. What you see what I'm saying? And what you're really saying is that you overthink everything.
That's true.
Yeah, oh yeah. Perfectionists are overthinkers.
I think that's a lot of the reason why I can't figure out what career, like, set of career paths I would like to take, is just like overthink it. Like, I can't.
Yeah. And you know what I think, Jason? I think you actually have some really good ideas about what you want to do and why you want to do it, but you have allowed your brain to talk you out of it because of your fear and insecurity. Sound about right?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Pretty accurate.
So you're a really sharp guy. Let's just stop thinking for just a few moments together and let me guide you into your heart. So, Jason, give me one or two ideas or things that you thought a lot about to the point that you thought yourself out of doing it. But if you were to examine the thoughts as to why you don't think you should do it, and you went, oh, what if I just tried it and I didn't have to worry about failure? Jason, what do you really think about? What's your heart really want to do?
I don't know.
You do. Yes, you do. Because while I was saying that, you had at least two or three things run through your brain, true or false.
Yeah.
Then tell me what ran through your brain while I gave you the long setup. I'm playing a game with you right now. You got to play back. What were the two or three things that popped through your mind when I was doing that long setup? Sam?
Becoming a police officer.
All right, good. What's another one? Say it. Stop thinking. You're literally editing yourself on the air right now. What is the other one besides being a police officer? What is it?
One that popped into my mind was teaching history.
Teaching history?
Yeah. Like I said, I've thought about a lot of different...
No, it's fine. But why did you pick those two? Because those two are at the top, aren't they?
I suppose so. I mean, I went into mechanics, which is what I've been in for about a year and a half, but...
Yeah. No, you're a mechanical thinker. I can literally hear your brain turning like I can a gear. And I want you to stop thinking and start feeling.
Right.
So, of all the things you've thought about, which one would you try tomorrow if you knew you couldn't fail? Answer me with your heart. What is it?
I suppose that would be being a police officer, but a lot of times I worry because I have a family, like a wife and a kid, and I've tried, like I've jumped, like I've not been afraid to try new careers to see if that would work out for me, and I've done it so many times.
I know, but I'm saying, what are you afraid of? You're afraid of leaving your wife as a widow. I get it. Police work's dangerous.
Yeah, I'm also afraid of just going into it and then like realizing that that's not the thing, like I've done so many times
okay.
in the past.
So here's what I want you to start doing. Since you've got a pattern of thinking your way out of something, I want you to do more trying. Sounds like you've done some trying. But with a police officer, have you ever done a ride-along?
No, I have not. My brother-in-law is a cop.
Okay, well, this is pretty easy to figure out. So I want you to call your brother-in-law in 5 minutes. I'm going to be done with you in 5 minutes. And I want you to do, the first thing you do is call your brother-in-law or text him and go, hey, dude, I want to do about 3 to 5 ride-alongs with you. And you ride along with him. And while you're riding along with him, talk to him about what he loves about the gig, what he hates about the gig. You understand?
All right. Yep.
Now, Jason, we can have a really solid conclusion as to whether or not we want to do something now. When we've tasted it, we've seen it, we've smelled it, we've touched it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You need to do more of that. Instead of thinking your way out of something, how about testing your way into and out of something? See, I don't want any thinking. I want testing.
Okay.
I want trying. It is in the trying and the testing that we get confirmation, not in the thinking. Because a human brain is powerful. It can logic its way out of anything. Could be an absolute no-brainer. Let me give an example. You're a father, right?
Yeah.
How old are your kids?
My first one was born this April.
Oh, it's
so a new father.
All right. How much are you looking forward to the first time you take your kid to the pool?
Oh, that's going to be great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so what are you going to do with that kid at the pool? What are you going to say? You're going to put him on the edge of the pool and you're going to say, or she, and you're going to say, come on, jump in. Daddy's going to catch you. You looking forward to that?
Yeah. Totally.
Okay. Let me tell you what your kid's going to do if they're like most kids. They're going to look at you. And they're going to go, I know my dad loves me. I know my dad takes care of me, but I ain't jumping in that water because if I jump in that water, I'm going to drown. And you're going to try to convince your daughter or your son that you're not going to let them drown. Am I right?
Right.
See, that's that brain. The brain is talking them out of what we know to be certain safety, but their brain's going, dad's not going to catch me. He's going to drop me and I'm going to drown and die.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do more trying, more jumping. Not, that doesn't mean job hopping. That means investigating, testing, shadowing, ride-alongs, talking over coffee, Zooms, talking to people who are doing the things you think you want to do. And in doing this, I wrote about this in the book From Paycheck to Purpose. I'm going to give it to you today. It's called Clarify and Verify. That's what's missing for you. And once you clarify and verify, Jason, here's what I know. You're a smart guy. Really logical, actually. I don't think you can make a dumb decision, Jason. I really don't.
Okay.
But I do believe you can make a fearful decision.
Yeah, that's very true.
Oh, and here's the irony. Fearful decisions many times are dumb decisions.
Dumb decisions.
Come on, Jason. Tell him what he's won, Alex. He got it. Hang on the line. We'll give you a copy of From Paycheck to Purpose. Also, let's give him the Get Clear Career Assessment. It'll help him verify police work. Thanks for calling, Jason. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future. Not so fun fact, America has a $1.6 trillion student loan crisis, and it's out of control. I'm George Camel, host of the Borrowed Future podcast, where we uncover the underbelly of the student loan industry and show you what you can do about it. It'll inspire you to see that it is possible to avoid student loans and graduate college debt-free. Listen to Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts.